And there's still 20 minutes to one, so we were thinking maybe to do that discussion about those items that are in danger of rapid extinction, like 16 millimeter negative cutting, etc. It's not a lot of time, but I think we can make a short break or maybe no break at all and just do that. Because I think it's okay, 20 minutes is fine, to just share information about these things.
For example, this is something that it intrigues me a bit. When you say 16 millimeter neck cutting, we discussed about this. You told me that there's not many people doing it anymore. But technically, it's something that is pretty easy to make. It's just being patient and... You have to have good hands. This is true, but it's not something that technically it's something very difficult. We do it all the time. It's acetate. You need glue that you can make. The formulas are really simple, and if you do AB cutting, the splices will not be seen. So it's not something that it's that tricky to learn. Then. It can take a while to be very good at it, but it's something that you need a splicer and glue.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. I can send. It's very simple, the recipe for acetate glue. There's several glues, acetate nitrate and nitrate and acetate and... there's also a Kodak cement glue, but I never bought it. It's basically very simple component that you can find and cheap. It's a stone and, I don't know it by heart, but I have it there. But it's also information that is not very hard to find because then it's drying out. But I can give you mine, the ones that I use.
So one thing we came across that we use or sometimes need to use, which is film cleaning liquids, because there's different. I know that some archives are using eucalyptus,
yeah.
Some are using isopropanol, and other liquids. And sometimes I tried buying isopropanol, and it's not that easy. And then there's archives or labs that use an even special mix. So all those things are kind of those secrets. At least for me, it always felt like it. So I would be very pleased if we could share those informations, also on negative gluing. And if somebody knows where to get the hot part, and maybe the machines that actually weld material, I'd be very interested in that.
You mean ultrasonic splicers?
Yes, and also since I have a few negative cutters with the tiny knife, I have a few too many, so I would be very keen on exchanging.
About negative cutting, I can say also in Berlin we have a person. She's actually the last person in Germany that cuts negative for people, but she's loves 16 millimeter. More than anything, and wants to cut negative for everyone. I have the contact. If you want, if you're in Europe or even in America, you can send it. It's single strand cutting with the Hamann splicer. The other thing about that, Hamann still exists, and it's the son of the guy who invented the splicer. And you can I don't know exactly the price, but he will sharpen them because they have to be perfectly sharpened to use them. In terms of having a person, there is one person, and it's very easy and cheap. But you can send stuff. Yeah. It's.
I mean, there is a page on the website that we did with a few people that still do it commercially. I agree that you can learn, but in my experience, it's something that, you know, if you don't do every day and it's your film that you've been working on for 5 years, maybe you want to pay someone that knows what he's doing. So we made that page. Or you can pay someone that doesn't know what he's doing, which happens too. We have the experience of that as well. So please take a look on that list. And if you know someone that is doing it for commercially that is not listed, let's add that person. There's also Steve Farman in the UK. There are still a few people. And there's someone in Brussels from the network also offering, and blah, blah, blah. There are still a few people, but it's sort of an endangered species. In France, there's no one.
I have one more question, because that's a problem that I came across with negative cutting. It is, if you have modern black and white print stock, it's not going to be, you're unable to cut it with negative color stock because it's different materials. So I, in the end, even though I wanted to do wet splicing, I had to do everything dry spliced. So I'd like to know if there's any solution to do a wet splicing when you have a mix of stocks.
Yeah, it's another issue. Is the thing is the negative cutting is for acetate based film. So camera negative is on acetate, and whereas print film is usually on polyester, and you cannot make negative cutting. You cannot splice polyester. The only thing for polyester is ultrasonic splicing, but that's something you don't want to do on an original because it's too thick and too big, and it will show in the print.
It really depends, because you can also...
16 millimeter, about 16 millimeter.
16 millimeter, okay. 16 millimeter is very critical, and you can actually splice polyester and acetate with an ultrasonic splicer. It's not as strong, and it's much more ugly than two ultrasonic splicers. And if, of course, if you have 16, it will be shown. It's ugly.
Yeah, because the
So there are.
Just last to your question, Orvo, they produce black and white print film on acetate, so you could. We've done that instead of. Using, if you want to use print film as camera film, you can get it from Orvo and ask them to give it to you on acetate, and then you can cut it with everything.
Good point. And
regarding the cleaning liquids, I can tell you what we use. The most effective is PERC, which is toxic. It's perchloroethylene. It's tetrachloroethylene. It's the UPAC name. And it's used for wet cake printing, it's used for cleaning machines, and you can clean it manually, but you need strong extraction because it's really toxic. We also use eucalyptus oil, we use normal alcohol or propanol, I mean. And we use whatever works. You buy three different things, and then you see. We go in terms of toxicity. Eucalyptus oil smells good, and you don't die, so it's better than PERC. If it works, it works. But the machines, more effective machines industrial cleaning machines, they use PERC. Some of them, they use other solvents because they are less toxic, not because they are more effective.
And they're more expensive. But one alternative to, if you want to buy isopropanol easily, you can buy tétanol film cleaner, which is basically isopropanol with a little bit of something else, to my knowledge. But that works quite well, and that's easy to find. Tétanol film cleaner, it's called, no? Graphic Arts film cleaner, it's called.
Some people also rewatch their film with water if you have a machine. It helps because if you have a scratch in the emulsion, it grows back again, it swallows again, and it doesn't disappear the scratch, but sometimes it can help if it's not a very deep scratch. That's plain water, and that's also a formula for a regenerator that some people did, but it's not very common. We don't have it. We have one of plain water.
So there are several people at Ajax who are cutting their own negative AB roll. But one of them wrote a piece of open source piece of software for conforming a calculator for conforming your work print to the negative. Makes it very simple. It's much harder to make a mistake that way. So if you can develop the technique of actually creating the hot splice, which takes some work, then the other big part is not accidentally cutting off a part that you don't want. So that's a really helpful tool.
Is it available, or can
it's,
we
it's
make
on that website, actually, that I had mentioned previously, 16mm.com is the same.
Okay, yeah, we should make a link from Film Labs. Okay. 16mm subtitling, I just want to make a little just information. So, to my knowledge, the only place in the world, unless someone else comes up with another, is Holland Subtitling, which is part of Haag Film now in Rotterdam. Their machine has had problems, so they had decided to stop 16 print engraving laser subtitles in 16 millimeter prints. We tried to convince with the folks from Labor Berlin and us, because we need some to be done. And other people I know, Li Chun also, I think, wrote to her, and Esther called them, you know, and we're trying to pressure them a little bit so that they do the work to be feel confident that they can run more 16 millimeter subtitling. But we have to know that it's something that's, I mean, there's not too many, I don't know any other options as a service. Sorry? Do you know, does someone know if there is a place in North America where we could send prints, 16 millimeter prints, to be laser subtitled? To my knowledge, I don't think so, but maybe someone knows.
Well, so I think there's no place, actually, because we were in contact with Mark Toscano, and he was actually looking for a lab, or like for a place himself to find it for 16 subtitling. So he said he doesn't know of any place.
Maybe we should ask Laura from Color Lab if she's not here now, but maybe she would know.
Well, what they told me, that there was just not enough demand to have it repaired. Would it be an option to ask them to give it to the network?
It could be. It's still, you know. Then there are maybe other sources for that we're trying to that have showed up in that discussion that we're having. Another thing to learn and machine to maintain and blah blah blah. But maybe at one point that's what will happen. It's a very specific technique. It's engraving is one thing, and then you have to rewash the prints so that the scrapping, so that the print is cleaned from the scrapping of the emulsion by the laser. So it's actually two machines.
Yesterday you had a film in the program with some laser engraved images. And this was connected to university. This seemed to be a research project.
It's done on 35 with a laser cutting machine. It's a Colombian filmmaker from Cologne. But yeah, he wrote a program for it. I mean, I don't know if that could be an option, but yeah, it's a different kind of.
DIY, but
I'm totally up for doing as many things analog as possible, but for subtitles, don't you think that it's easier to run the subtitles with digital projectors underneath the screen?
I wouldn't oppose the two possibilities. I mean, I've had print subtitles that can circulate very easily because they're just subtitled and, you know, people don't have to bother. One idea behind what I will show at the presentation tonight also is that the same tool to drive audio from the film projector could be used to drive a subtitle list. And that's actually something very important. And certainly it can make easier circulation of prints with subtitles, but without the work of sending them one by one. You have to know the language, blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, it's possible, but it's kind of tedious. It's beautiful too. It's so tiny when you look at the 16 millimeter image. It's incredible. Print film.
They are tricky machines to sustain. Everything that is laser. Lasers have a useful time of life. They will die. Then you need a laser technician. It's something that you don't go there because it's tricky. It's very specialized. So they are not the easiest machines to. It's much easier to sustain a printer, especially if you don't have a lot of electronics involved in something like that. Yeah.
16 millimeter print film. I wanted to mention because for the first time last year, Kodak started discontinuing emulsions they are making on 35. But now they stopped making on 16 millimeter, namely internegative 16 millimeter black and white internegative 7.2-34, and interpositive that goes with it 7.3-66, that are still produced as the 35 millimeter version, but they stopped 16 millimeter because, as you probably know, when Kodak makes film, they make a big master roll and then they cut it down. But their machines to cut down, they're just one format. So they can't adapt. They can't make a master roll and cut part of it 16, part of it 35. They just cut it down to one format or the other. So they cut it down to 16 millimeter. They're stuck with a huge amount of 16 millimeter that they don't sell. So unless someone wants to go to Rochester and modify their machines so they can do half and half or something, we're stuck now with that problem that some stocks will die out on 16 before they die out on 35. And, you know, maybe one day, I'm just concerned about 16 millimeter print film for one thing, like color print, because for black and white, there's Orvo, but if Kodak stops color print, we're sort of not a man.
But you talked about acetate-based films. Also, it disappeared in the polyester?
I think they don't... I'm not sure. Well, Orvo has an alternative that's on polyester, but then if you include, which happens quite often, you want to include something that was like blown up from Super 8 into a 16 millimeter film that was shot on 16 mainly, but that has parts of Super 8 that were blown up, then you want to do negative cutting and then you're stuck because you don't have acetate base internegative. But, you know,
because we still have 16 millimeter Dupuis and Dupneg 16 millimeter. I know it's getting harder to get, but the last thing that I heard when we bought it was not impossible to get. It was just minimum quantities in polyester. We mainly buy polyester, but I know it's not perfect, but sometimes it can be also a solution. I will have a discussion with Christina from Kodak my contact there in Portugal, because it seems that a lot of problems popped up during these days, and yes, it's true that they are discontinuing some things, making it harder, but so far I've bought everything that I needed, so it's getting harder, and maybe this is one of the things that people have to organize, buying larger quantities and divide by themselves. I don't think this there can be a turning back from there, or only or.
Has someone discussed the availability of color print film on 16mm with people from Kodak, with Kodak representatives, or Kodak in Rochester? You have? And what did they say?
I was just calling. I was just in Lyft in Canada, so I was calling because it's so close. And they didn't really... I went through so many different, oh, I need to send you to this other person. Oh, I need to send you. And I went through a long chain, and maybe 3 weeks later, I finally got a call. And then they really actually had very little knowledge themselves, actually, what I found on what they had and what they were keeping, because I was questioning what they were keeping that was for more or less what you're talking about, print stocks for printing with film versus the ones that are now being optimized for output to video and acetate and polyester. And I talked to maybe 10, 15 people in total, and it just seemed like their knowledge base was less specific than the questions I had. So I'm not sure that there was any resolution on that.
Yeah, if you take a look on the Kodak website, for instance, black and white print film 3302, on 16mm, it's not listed on the films that are available. It is available. You can buy 16. So far, you can buy 16mm print film from Kodak. But if you look on the print film they make on the website, it's not listed. It's listed on 35, but it's not listed on 16. And it's very strange. And I told them that, and they said, "Yeah, well, if you want some, we can give you some." But it's not listed on the website, so it's very bizarre.
On the Kodak UK price list, they still have both stocks.
They have it on the price list, but they don't have it on the website where display what they offer.
I just wanted to add that little bit of information.
Anya?
Also, one problem we had with Kodak recently is that now they changed the minimum order amount to 2,000 euros. So I think it used to be 500, and now it's 2,000. Is that true? Like, are you also cannot order place orders below?
No, it went actually backwards for us. I mean, they changed the minimum amount for people that don't have, I mean, we're talking about Europe here because probably it's different in North America or anywhere else. 6,000? Yeah, feet. You're talking about feet, like minimum order of print film, but I think Anya is mentioning minimum amount of money to order. And that's something that happened recently, this year, I think, that if you don't have an account, then you have a minimum amount of money to be able to order from Kodak. But if you do have an account, then there's no minimum and there's no charge for shipping. So you should organize yourselves to try to open a formal account with Kodak, and at least that's what is the situation in France. So if you have a, then you won't even pay shipping charge.
Yeah, I'm very sorry, we have to stop the discussion, but it's lunchtime, so you can keep on speaking on this subject.
Thank you.